Hello and welcome back to Season 2 of Ultimate Voices Europe, the EUF's not-so-new-anymore diversity podcast. All right. Hello and welcome to the second episode of UVE. Ultimate Voices Europe, the UF's diversity podcast, this year focused on the women's division. And for our second episode, Annika and I are super happy to be joined by Maeva and Maddie.
Hey, hey.
Hi.
Thanks for coming on. Maybe it's just best if you tell us what brings you here and what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, sure. thank you very much for inviting us to talk with you today. It's very, very nice. We're very happy to do so. Matti and I, and also a bunch of other amazing, amazing people that we've been working with, Margot, Léa, Tiffen, we're working on a Women Plus Ultimate Tournament that will take place in Bouillon, Belgium, around July. So it will be the 18th and 19th of July. That's what we've been working on for a few months, if not years.
A few years actually.
I think it's already originated quite long ago already, but you know, time to put everything in motion, and we really want to make something special. So we're taking the time that's needed to do so.
Nice. Do you, the two of you, want to introduce yourself really quickly? So you were just talking, Maeva. Do you want to quickly say something?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, maybe we can start by that. So I'm Maeva. I use she, her pronouns. I'm French. I've been living in Paris for, I think, the past 10 years, maybe. So playing with Paris, Paris team, so PUC. I've been coaching also a little bit in this club. But now I'm more focused in the women division, since I've been playing for the past 2 years with Moon Cup on the international level. Very excited for the club season this year. And I've also been part of the French women team in Portimao and for the past few years also. That's me summed up. And maybe out of Frisbee, I'm a project manager. I work for a creative agency. For working for different brands and making sure that everything is well done from the beginning to the start and delivering project. That's what I'm doing. I'll pass it to Matti.
Hi, my name is Maddie. I'm from the United States, originally from Atlanta, Georgia, but I've been living in Paris for the past few years. I started playing with Yaka when I moved to Paris, and I really, really loved playing in the women's division. I played in the women's division in college in New York. I've also played on mixed teams as well. And Maeva and I met during the World's National Circuit in Australia, and we both play on Team France, which was awesome. And I really love investing in European women's ultimate. It's been such a joy. And in my real life, I am finishing my master's. I'm graduating in a month from the American University of Paris with a global communications degree, and I'm open for work if anyone's looking to hire. Aside from that, I also volunteer with Play Coach Grow, which is another women's division institution on the European level as well.
Nice.
Very nice. Something we've also mentioned before on this podcast as a good practice. Nice. Well, thanks for coming on once again. Maeva, you already said that you've been working on this actually for a couple of years now, as you said. So you said it's going to be a high-level women's-only tournament. What was the idea behind it? Like, what's the motivation to start a multi-year project like this?
It's actually originated just after the Worlds in Australia, so the one we met and played with Matti. And basically, like, at the very end of the tournament, I guess as half of the frisbee player there, everyone went to Byron Bay, so a little bit lower on the coast. And during this week of vacation after the tournament, I met with some players and, for example, with Sophie Rumpert, who's playing for the German team. And it was just such a joy to meet her, and we got along so well. And I just realized at that moment, I was like, this is kind of crazy that we've literally spent a whole season playing the exact same tournament, doing everything, like, yeah, all the same weekends. And the very first time that we start talking and we start realizing that we get along is a week after the World Championship. So we're just in a bar and we're just like, this is crazy. How is this happening? This is not normal, blah, 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 blah. And then, I don't know, the idea started popping in my head, but it just stayed there for a few months until, I don't know, I bring this up with Mati. When we were on in Barcelona, I think a few months after, for a tournament there, and I just started talking to her about this. I was like, we should do something about it. This is like such a shame that, you know, we have all this like pool of amazing players in Europe. But we don't feel really the connection between each other. Like, we're just like all very super, super into like our own club or our national team, and everyone is, and as we should, I guess, when you prepare for a big season. But it's just such a shame that we're just like always walking across, let's say, like, and not really meeting. It's starting to this idea of like creating a space that was high level, but that was also allowing for space for people to meet and connect and develop the community. So that's kind of how it started. And I talked to it about Mati, and Mati, with her super enthusiasm that I absolutely adore, she was like, we have to do this. So when she said that, we were like, okay, well, I guess this is in motion. I guess that's how it started. I don't know, Mati, if you want to add anything more on this.
Yeah, I think it's actually like crazy random timing that the women's division is the focus of EUF this year, because I think like everyone's just kind of collectively thinking, okay, what's been missing from this community? And I think what's great about All-Stars is that it's coming not from a club and not from a federation and not from a previously organized institution, but it's coming from players who are realizing what's missing and coming together and creating a space for players by players. And it's great that UF and you know, we're working with LTTV as well. Like, different groups are very interested, because it seems like it's the theme of this year, which is great. But we're hoping that this is not just a one-time thing, but this happens to be like a really anticipated annual event that remains on the top of must-dos for tournaments in the world.
That sounds nice.
That sounds really amazing. Yeah. I want to keep like come back to the topic of women's ultimate and these like spaces where like women's ultimate is, I think that's like a really important thing that you're creating, of like having a purely women's ultimate tournament. I don't know if there are many tournaments that are specifically only for the women's division and that anyone who plays in that division. Was that also like a reason to do this, that like there is not really many tournaments like that?
Yeah, we've done a lot of scouting also to see what already existed in Europe, and there's already been a woman-only tournament, but to be honest, not as many as there's, for example, open division or mixed division. So it's really rare, let's say, to have a completely fully exclusive weekend with only the women division. I think there were something missing on the map of Europe, so that's why also we wanted to do this. And maybe I'm just taking this this time also to give the clarification that when we say woman, it's really like woman plus. So what that means for us is that we really want to be inclusive of every woman, cis woman, trans woman, as well as non-binary people that would, and gender diverse people that would feel aligned with a woman-centered space.
Yeah, that's one of our like core founding values for sure, is this idea of like not perpetuating exclusive spaces, but that we're setting up an inclusive space and focusing on, you know, when women plus centered people. That was like a huge, huge thing for us.
Yeah, that's really nice. Important. Very nice. Just so like anyone who plays in the women's division and identifies as a player of the women's division.
Yes. Awesome. Exactly. Because I guess we've seen also like lately the landscape of sport isn't looking that great everywhere. And especially with like the latest news that we got from the Olympic Committee that were shameful. So yeah, I guess, one very of our core value is really that the statement of like we want to prioritize inclusion overall. Basically, we want to be this place where every athlete who feels excluded elsewhere can finally focus on only one thing, which is playing ultimate.
doing
what they do best, which is playing ultimate.
Which is also like why we were super intentional about it being like a completely independent tournament from any team association or any federation, just because this is a tournament that's for us, by us, that we get to dictate what is, you know, going on in the space. So.
Nice. I do want to get more into like the whole inclusive exclusive debate, because I think that's also super interesting on a meta level. But now that you've like mentioned, I think already twice, like that's from you, by you, for you. What is going to be the difference? Like, do you have any like sort of, maybe it's a bit of an abstract question, but I'm curious, like how's that going to feel? What's going to be different than a EOF organized tournament or a federation organized tournament?
I've been waiting for this question. Yes, we have so many. We've like, Maeve and I talked before this and we're like, I know that they're going to ask what makes this tournament different and we got to come prepared. So what is different about our tournament is that we are focusing, the emphasis is not just on what's happening on the field, like what most tournaments are, but also equally giving emphasis to what's happening off the field and how are we interacting with our both our team and building. I know a lot of teams are using our tournament as like a team building space, but it's also an important space to build community outside of our team. And that is the main focus through, and we have a few different activities planned. We have a party that's pretty traditional for like a tournament standard. But beyond that, we also have like different fun organized activities for building community between teams that we don't really want to talk about right now because we're still working out the kinks. But we're going to have really fun stations. We're going to have a tattoo station, potentially a different nail artist station. There's also going to be times to engage in physical activity and sports like volleyball and also like play in the river, and it's just gonna be a really great time focused on community building. It's kind of like a camp. I grew up going to an American camp, and I think that energy is like really, really special. And creating a space that's separate from the everyday life and maybe separate from traditional ultimate frisbee spaces to build memories with people that isn't just on the field and competing against each other.
Yeah, and I guess just to add to what Maddie was saying, I think fundamentally also having a woman plus only tournament is going to be different in itself because of this. Because also like when you have this woman-centered space, we firmly, firmly believe that being all together is also something that will unlock excellence, kind of. So for us, it's really meaningful to like reunite all those super high-level players and making them interact with each other. And we do feel that when you're in a woman-centered space, whereas if you're not, the player feel, you know, safe, seen, supported by a community that also understand like their very specific journey of what it is to be playing in the women division. And I think it just builds up this like safe environment where you can just be your best self and take more risk on the field and feeling more comfortable, just expressing yourself in and out the field. It's as much about like high level competition and but also as community gathering and kind of this radical belonging that we want to have between all the team.
Yeah, that's so lovely. And I think that's like, we're circling back again to like having this inclusive space. And I think that's what's really unique about this tournament, of like having this safer space where people feel seen, also feel safe. I think people can express themselves differently and also can take up space that maybe isn't always given to them in other contexts. So that is such a good idea. And I think, like, working back to also what you said before, like, the level of like inclusivity versus exclusivity. Obviously, you always exclude someone when you build like a safer space or an inclusive space. But like, just like as an argument, there's so many different spaces for male matching players that maybe women matching players aren't part of. That's why it's such an important concept that you're creating.
I also want to mention that, like, when we think about like specific affinity spaces or like specific spaces of inclusion, especially with regards to how traditional tournaments are set up, a lot of times we've recognized that the women's division kind of gets the shorter end of the stick. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is poorly timed finals where, you know, the final match is not conducive to the tournament schedule, and that leads it to being not very well attended by guests or by people in general, that people, you know, will really come to see the men's division and see that final, and that tends to take the priority of a traditional tournament. Mm-hmm. Whereas now in this women's division or women's plus tournament, there's no question of those dynamics. We're all on the equal playing field and we're all invested in each other's high level play.
Yeah, no, I love that. There's so many tournaments where that happens, where like the women's finals put on different timings, or like I played a tournament where like they stopped all other games except for the 3-4 game of the men's division. And all the photographers went to the 3-4 game of the men's division. And like things like that are open division. Just suck, I guess. But yeah, mentioning the open division, I think also an interesting thing, because the division is kind of different to the women's division, because the women's division itself is also kind of inclusive, but also excluding male matching players, whereas the open division doesn't. Which I think is also like an interesting thing to talk about.
I think that makes a lot of sense technically, right? Like technically the open division is an open division, but practically it's really not, like especially at higher level. If we look at the other open teams are basically men's teams. And actually also in terms of like gender diverse and trans people, I feel like it's less open than the women's division, for example, which has, I mean, that's a general trend, I think, in competitive sports that women's divisions are like there's higher queer representation generally. So it's just an interesting thought that even though maybe technically there are like less barriers in the open division, practically there are actually more. Because sort of, yeah, maybe just a sort of cultural norms you have to adhere to fit in. Of course, the physical sort of requirements maybe to compete at the highest level in open are just hard sort of for people of all genders to fit. But also, yeah, like just a matter of how many people play the sport. And I think we still have way more men playing ultimate than women generally. Which is of course also a cultural problem, but at the same time that means we're just going to have more open teams that play. But I think it's a very nice sort of example of what the rule says isn't necessarily what like the practical implication is going to be. And I think that's the thing of like excluding and including, because I think people could make the case, right? Like, oh, we have a women's only tournament. How is that more inclusive than a tournament for all genders? That sometimes you need a little bit of exclusion to sort of balance the scale, because people are like culturally, structurally being discriminated against or getting given less space. So like to balance the scales, like you can't really have inclusion just happening by itself on by goodwill, right? Sometimes you have to have like structural measures as well.
I agree. I think there's a really interesting like paragraph in the Swiss equality law where like it's not only about equality, it's about equity and like measures that actually support one gender that might be discriminated against in certain aspects, they don't count as like uneven treatment. So, and that's kind of the same, right? We need to build spaces for women because they don't get the same amount of space or same amount of, I don't know, representation as the men's division or the open division.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more on what just the two of you just said.
Maybe because I was just thinking, I think to us this makes sense, right? I think to people who are either like haven't faced like structural discrimination or not knowingly have, or who are also like new to the whole debate, I would say this maybe is a bit counterintuitive. So I was thinking, maybe again, bringing it back to you, the players who are creating the tournament for players, what do you expect? Like, I mean, maybe you already mentioned some, but maybe are there more things that you can expect to feel like different, being in a women's only space, that might not be the case, like in an all gender or in a mixed gender tournament?
Well, yeah, this is a difficult question because I think it like talks more about society in general, and it's not just about Frisbee and it's not just about tournaments, but it's about like the structure of Frisbee and the structure of tournaments and like how is the, you know, the women's plus experience reflected on the field and off the field. So it's a difficult it's difficult to pinpoint in words exactly what the feeling is. Mm-hmm. But as someone who has played both in the mixed division and the women's division, I would say that, and this might sound controversial, but I am speaking from the I perspective. So this is my own perspective. I grew more as a player, both on the field and in my own self-confidence when I was playing in the women's division. And that's no fault on any of the mixed teams I played with that had various genders. I just felt that I was pigeonholed into certain positions on the field and also certain social structures, like in leadership, where I didn't really see examples of women's leadership, basically, sometimes in my mixed experience that ultimately reflected and resulted in the way that I played. And then when I moved to the women's division, I kind of felt like this whole new discovery of me as a player. Like all of a sudden I can cut in these spaces and all of a sudden I can have this leadership role and I can speak for what I want and claim space and take space. So again, I'm trying to tread lightly because it's no fault of individuals, but more so of the social structure that exists already that will ultimately re-exist in whatever space you mm-hmm. exist in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I feel deeply, I think, with everything that Matti just said. And I guess when you're in an environment where it's woman-centered, then the women aren't just a player, but they're also the strategists, the voices, the mentors, the leaders, the coaches. So it's just a space where the community also wants you to succeed. You know, it's like everyone is pushing for each other and everyone has your back. Like unconditionally, and that's what also makes it different. And I guess when also this is something like this mystical feeling, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but like, you know, the sisterhood feeling that you get when you're playing in the women division is just completely unmatched. And I think that's what makes it very special too.
Yeah, I agree. I don't play in the women's division anymore this season and last season, but I think, can you talk about the women's division or any like woman plus like space? And it's just a different feeling. And I think it's a feeling of being able to express yourself differently. I think, yeah, to be a woman, like you said, kind of a mystical feeling.
Yeah.
But also like, I think it's also, yeah, expressing yourself, taking space, but also just a little bit. And again, I'm also saying this with hesitation, feeling safe. Like physically safe, but psychologically safe. And like, there's just, yeah, I don't really know how to phrase it.
No, I think that's like a really important, yes, I hear where you're coming from. And I think that's also like, I think why we're also emphasizing that this is a women's plus space is that it's important to be explicit and transparent about and set intentions for the tournament and the space that we're trying to make. And like, there's a sense of safety where everyone agrees, like agrees on a contract, like, oh, we're going in this weekend knowing that this space is going to have various opinions and various perspectives and various life experiences. And like, I'm, by signing up for this, I'm signing up for this contract. And there's going to, we're coming with mutual respect. And there's a sense of safety that comes with that, that I think that is not afforded to regular mainstream tournaments where you don't really know kind of the environment you're walking into. You kind of have to assume these kind of gender roles or gender norms. Whereas this tournament, I guess another reason why it sets us apart is that you're going in knowing fully what you're going to expect, kind of.
Yeah. That's a good thing. And I like, it's also, it is a thing also in Ultimate that like things happen where people feel unsafe and people have reason to feel unsafe. Yeah. And not, yeah. I'm not saying that that doesn't happen also in like, I don't know, in a women's plus space, but it is a safer space when there's less men. And that's like just also statistically also not.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm drifting away from the topic, but it just made me think about something that I've talked with different people also. But I think Ultimate Frisbee, because it's so, how to say that, open-minded. And I think compared to all of the other sports, maybe that there is, it's just like a little bit more up to date with like everything that is happening in the world. And I don't know, it just felt like a very much more inclusive space than other sports can provide. But because of this, I think we're sometimes it just, because it's supposed to be so safe and we are priding, like taking pride in having such a safe environment, then sometimes stuff happen that isn't what should be happening. And then it's like, oh, what? You know, like, it's just like, I feel it's very important for us that, yes, maybe we are more advanced, let's say. This is not the right phrasing to say that, but we are more...
Progressive, maybe.
Yeah, progressive. Thank you very much. Maybe we are more progressive than other sports, but it's not because we are more progressive than there is still nothing happening, you know, and we should be very much aware of this and careful of this. I'm a bit drifting from the original topic.
I think that really fits actually, because we also mentioned this last episode with Nemo already, but just thinking of the UCF party last year, where we've had reports of women or like women plus people feeling unsafe, just both in terms of like getting comments, but also in terms of like the general atmosphere of like shirtless men coming too close into personal spaces, etc. And I was just thinking, like, exactly like this sort of a party on a women's only tournament or women's plus tournament must feel just very different. And that's also, again, I'm sure there's like lots of men in the European Ultimate community that would perfectly sort of fit the vibe of that party and like it wouldn't feel any different. But there's also people that disturb a vibe like that. And yeah, like Annika said, I think there's also a statistical case to be made for that. Yeah, I think that's super relevant and also fits with what we've been saying also last year often on the podcast of like, yes, we are quite progressive, but also that almost makes it easier to turn a blind eye to those things that still need to be done.
Yeah.
And like also, I guess, sort of sometimes marginalize the experience of people that still like, sometimes it's hard to believe that, oh, you still don't feel included or you still feel like you're not being given enough space. Aren't we past this kind of thought? Mm. But I think that makes it almost even more dangerous. Or then, I don't know, like if a case of misconduct happens, like people would be like, oh, I really can't imagine this person doing that because they're part of our community, right? But as we know, that's not a given.
Yeah, I think it's also like something to say that like, you know, safeguarding is, I think, not taken seriously enough oftentimes in Ultimate. Or like, I know like we're working on it with the EUF a little, but like also like a lot of parties that I go to in Zurich, there's like a safeguarding concept. And I've seen like more and more tournaments where that happens. I think still like, again, we kind of hide behind this progressiveness, like, we can't really even imagine stuff happening within the Ultimate community, whereas like stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we all know it.
Yeah, we all know it. And I guess we're just also, you know, I think everyone is super grateful for this little bubble that we have, and how Ultimate Frisbee for me, it's been one of the greatest joy in my life and bringing me so much, bringing me like amazing friendship, amazing adventure, loves, etc. So it's just an amazing place. But we're still, even though it feels so special for all of us, it's still in the world that we live in, and we cannot escape all the structural structural discrimination that there is in the world, you know. So even though it's nice, like, it's still part of the actual world in the state that it is. And so, yeah, it would be a mistake to think that we are not hit by those two.
Yeah, for sure. And like, yeah, just with all of that in mind, I think it's so amazing that there is going to be a tournament that is like a safer space for people where, and like, maybe this is a silly question and I'm kind of embarrassed to ask it. What are your thoughts on like male coaches and physios and stuff? Can they come to your tournament? Is there like a rule on this?
I think our team feels a little bit divided on what that would look like. I'm kind of for the opinion of like really keeping it a majority, like an overwhelmingly majority women plus presence. And like we, for example, and like later on we'll talk about this, but we just posted our volunteer form. And like right before Maeva and I checked in with each other being like, oh, we also need to consider like, the you know, who's volunteering for these spaces? Do we, you know, like, do we talk about who can be a volunteer and who can't volunteer? So anyway, yeah, I don't know if we have a stance on that particular question, but it's not a stupid question though at all.
It's something that we've been talking a lot all together. And also I think in the lens of the World Championship coming in August, a lot of teams are coming there for preparation. So it also feels complicated to maybe like some of the coaches that are male player, like not allowing them to come might feel difficult also in the general context of the world and preparing for the season. That's a very ongoing topic, so I don't know if you have a very clear answer on that. Sorry.
Yeah, I think like also what's interesting is that during the same weekend, Mooncatchers are doing their own open division tournament, and so it's kind of convenient in the sense that if like these teams that have both women in open divisions, they can come to Belgium at the same time and just send their teams in different spaces. But yeah, keep on the lookout for, I guess, our policy on that.
yeah. And I mean, I don't know if you probably already thought of that, but maybe as a sort of compromise, you could also just like have all male people do a briefing or something like that. For men, and be like, yes, I'm coming. I'm aware this is going to be a women's space. I vowed to like do this and this and that.
That's a really good idea. That's
maybe
really good
out idea. Of certain activities or something, like just be aware of like what kind of space.
Yeah.
I think that would be fun.
Or like have a critical masculinity workshop for them while the women do something else.
Yeah. I'm writing these down. Sorry. Yeah, I think the other thing is that like Maeve and I have never run a tournament before ever, and so like we have a lot of assistance from people who have like Tiffen, for example. She's like very in the know about how these things work, and people on our team work in project management and stuff. But I like, yeah, I think it would be unjust for us to say that everything's going to go smoothly 100% of the time, because this is our first go around and we're just going to try our best. And that, I mean, that's something that we could definitely keep in the pot, is that like this is hopefully an ongoing project, and we're really hoping for the best and we're putting all of our effort in for a really great first annual go at it, but that we're always going to be open for feedback, and that before, during, and after the tournament, we'll have many surveys that go out to see how we can improve in the future. Because again, like we said, we are just players trying to create a player initiative, but we're not professionals.
Yet. That makes sense. Yeah. You said that you have a few players that are like project managers and stuff. I just like when you said that you work in, I think, communication and something creative.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Creative agency. That.
Okay. I just like immediately thought of like your logo and like the whole Insta page and everything, and I think it's so well done, and that surely you could use some of like your skills for that. That really makes the tournament.
I think we're very lucky on that, because as Matty said, like everyone in the team is kind of related, like going around like this circles, like say. So yeah, me, I'm a project manager. Matty is she has just this magnificent creative mind, and she's working also like in social medias. Leah is a producer, like an event producer, so that also helps. So she's more she's in other spheres of life, but yeah, she's a producer, so she knows also how this stuff runs. And then we have someone who's a strategist in real life, and then we have Tiffin, who's into like sport development. So yeah, everyone is just very much revolving around those areas, so it makes it a little bit more easy to navigate, let's say. But thank you very much for the nice comment on the creative. It's Matty is the mastermind behind everything, so thanks to her. I guess we also really wanted to be mindful about the way we communicate and how we came across, and I feel that sometimes you know, tournaments maybe like same. It's not. I don't know. I've never felt very much aligned with the communication of of all the tournaments. Sometimes it's a bit, you know, it's a bit rough. It's a bit, I don't know. So we really wanted to have like a cohesive image, like all through and through, from the beginning to the end. So if it's landing the right way, like then we're very happy.
Yeah, I think the other part of like why we rely so much on communication on social media is that no one really knows what this looks like. No one has kind of like done this type of project before. And so we can't rely on legacy and history to do the promotion for us. Like, for example, Windmill, I mean, is a legacy tournament, and, you know, Elite Invite, I guess, as well. But, you know, these tournaments that have existed for years and years and years, and people have such great associations, the promotion kind of does it for themselves. Whereas for us, we have to really, really be heavy on how we're communicating with whom, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just thinking, I think what also beautifully ties into like Project 44 and also like the whole sort of arc of our season of the podcast now is this idea of like the different levels of like sports that also sort of apply when organizing a tournament, right? Because you have the players, you have coaches, you have like staff like physios, etc., media coverage, organization. So I'm sure like not only is this like from players for players like you mentioned, but sort of it makes a difference if the decisions of what the structure, what the activities, what the marketing is going to look like, if those are being made by women or not, right? Yeah. And I think that's like something that applies to general sport, which is also like we're going to have episodes on female coaching. We're going to have our next episode on media coverage from like a women's perspective, etc. So I think there's like lots of sort of things to go into, but I'm just thinking like it's so cool that you also have like this organizing team of women that think from the perspective of women, for women, because we also had this like conversation with Nemo on the last episode, right? Like it's just a man can be super well intentioned in like fighting for equity, but he's still a man with a male socialization and a male perspective, and so intention is just has a limit at some point, and what you need is lived experience, and that's what you bring like to your own project, which I think is beautiful and important.
thank you for that.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
I also want to mention that like we've already been learning so much on the project, and we've already like learned from some of the maybe misfootings that we've had originally, and I think it's important to acknowledge them as well. Like when we first launched the project on Instagram, we were like really sure about using inclusive language, and we're using the term women, like women with the X in it, because I'm a cisgendered woman, and I cannot speak from the perspective of what it means to not be cisgender. And so that was like a learning moment for sure for us, because we thought we were using the most inclusive term, but then we had our audience very kindly give us feedback and say, oh, actually, you know, like this would be a better term. And so that's just an example of just we're trying our best, but also super grateful for the community that's coming forward and making sure and keeping us on track too. So yeah, it's a learning process and we're learning so much about this.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's a joy to see that the product also has been resonating so much with the community. We've got like so many feedbacks from, I don't know, players on the field or just in our Instagram DMs too. So it just making sure that we're doing something that is right and that was needed. And just like, as Mathieu said, like having such a kind feedback and comments from the community and to like help us grow is just, I don't know, I guess this is why we're all doing this. So that's very nice to feel and to see the support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lovely. Yeah. That's very nice.
Yeah.
I was thinking, because of course your tournament is also EOF sanctioned. Now you're like, you're gathering experience, of like what it needs to have this tournament and to have it like feel good and have it be a safer space, etc. And while your tournament is like super unique, it's still like an EOF sanctioned tournament, right? And I was thinking,
yes,
are there things that you thought like, oh, we need this in our tournament that you wish other tournaments had and that you would like pass on sort of as a recommendation or as a wish for other tournaments?
Yeah, it's true that we are UCS approved, and I think we take some pride also in this, because it just shows that, you know, this is a very serious tournament, that this is high level, that there is, you know, this is like very much a competitive like steps for clubs or pickups, like whoever want to come, but it just like kind of give us the stamp. But even though we're following this like sporting rules for the games, I think we're very much following our own community rules when it's come to this aspect. And this, I guess this is how we're going to make ourselves a bit more different from the usual tournament. And I guess maybe we don't have an answer yet on how exactly maybe the UEF could take from that and then take with them and apply elsewhere. But I don't know, maybe, yeah, I really hope that we'll be maybe helping paving the way to a new future within the federal competition. But I'm not sure yet how it's going to look like. I'm very eager to see, because, we have all those ideas and we have all those expectations of how it will come. But I guess we need to also wait until it happens to see if eventually everything like aligned perfectly. But yeah, let's see. I think also maybe, but this is, then I guess it's just like ongoing discussion and maybe like bottomless discussion about like, you know, the different type of format or how you do like your European tour with like spring, summer, etc. Like it's been, I think we kind of realized that there's also a lot of happening within the season, and sometimes it's just very far away from teams, and especially when you want to grow women ultimate, I think we have to be mindful of the fact that economically speaking, socially speaking, people playing in the women's divisions aren't maybe the one that have the most funds, and we know how ultimate frisbee is very expensive. And so, for example, it broke my heart when I've come to learn that some teams weren't able to come play the European Championship, even though they were qualified for it, because they didn't have any like enough money to afford the trip. So I think there's so many reflection on that. And I guess our tournament isn't maybe responding to this one, but we really were mindful also about the location, and putting it in Belgium was kind of something that we really want to, because it's near France, Belgium, close to the Netherlands, close to Swiss, close to Italy, etc. So we really wanted something to be central, and that's also identified as like some sort of like key key places of European ultimate, and so people were already like much more inclined to come. And I think I've drifted away again in my answer but very exciting on how it will come all together, and And yeah, and but what has been great also is that the UF actually reached out to us also about the tournament. So obviously you through the podcast, but also we've been talking with different people in the UF that were very interesting in supporting the tournament. So I guess it makes sense also in the general state of mind of they want to really highlight ultimate woman ultimate in the next years. Yeah, not sure yet how exactly this will worked, but it was just very nice to hear from them and seeing them really want to take part of it and support us. And we felt very heard during those conversations. So, so yeah, I guess the connection has been made between us and the UF, and I'm sure there's a lot to learn from each other.
I would say the other thing that I this is a perfect segue because we're currently looking for sponsors as well. Not to be like, oh, sponsor us, give us money, but like certainly for those institutions that are saying that they want to support women's initiatives and not putting the money where their mouth is, this is a great opportunity to support a women's initiative. So anyway, yeah, we're open to all and any offers.
Nice. Let's put that out there.
I have one more question about like kind of similar, like, because like you're in UCS tournament now, or like you the people that are in the series can play the tournament and counting for the series. Did you like think about like what level you wanted? Because you did want to, like you said, you wanted a series tournament, like good teams there. So ever thought of like like, yeah, what, like, if you wanted to also invite, like, amateur teams or, like, lower-level teams in a way? I actually don't know which teams exactly are all going, but I know that it's, like, all of the, like, top teams in the women's division. Yeah, what were your thoughts there?
Yeah. I don't know, Matty, do you want to respond or should I go on this one?
We can double team it. I would say probably you start because...
Okay, let's team up on this one. I guess when we first thought about it, it was more leaning towards having a high-level tournament because we kind of saw a divide also in what was already existing within the landscape of women's tournaments in Europe. And so you either have those fun and inclusive grassroots events or those very strict and elitist championships. And so our offer just came as an answer of this divide and being like right in the middle where it's high level, but it's also fun and it's also inclusive. Yeah, I guess that's kind of how it started. And yeah, we don't want excellence to be exclusive. But for this first edition, it's true that we have more of a top level teams. We've already been discussing about ways maybe to integrate that because I think we really want to push the community forward. And by that, we were thinking maybe having, I don't know, talks or clinics on how to, you know, having like a coaching a role model like within the woman. Women teams, etc. But this is like we have all these ideas, but I think that are maybe coming more into year two or three. But this is definitely something that we've thought about. I don't know, Matty, if you want to add on that.
Yeah, I think it was difficult at the beginning positioning ourselves because again, it was also like a communication strategy in a way to be like, okay, how do we get the attention from higher level teams, but also remain true to our like inclusive nature. And ultimately the teams that did sign up did happen to be the top teams in Europe, which I think ultimately did maybe as a response, maybe some other lower level teams didn't feel like that their level kind of matched, I guess. So like Maiva said, in the year two and three, hopefully we'll get a lot more interest from teams in general and that we can expand the scope to accommodate different levels and also make it enjoyable for all teams in general. it was really important for us to have that UCS as certification, because given that it was a Club Worlds year and also a very packed schedule, it was going to be super hard for us to compete in the tournament schedule without having that accreditation. And so because we had that accreditation, then higher teams were more willing to participate and use those games for their ranking for the end of the year for UCS. So it kind of was like a chicken and egg situation. But after this first year, we're definitely going to figure out how to adapt.
Yeah. Yeah. And as legacy, like in the next years, like I would absolutely love to have maybe like, I don't know, two divisions and having like, you know, Division 1, Division 2, that would be amazing, honestly. So yeah, let's see what the future brings.
Yeah, that also, that reminds me of like how we started this podcast as well, because we were at this like, oh, we're going to give a platform to voices that aren't always heard. And like our first couple of guests were like the most famous people in Frisbee Europe. But we also needed like people to start listening to this, right? And be interested in the names. And I do think like there's worth in that, right? Because, and that's the same for like high level and like more broader level. I think there's this like, only because like the main focus is like playing at the highest level doesn't mean there's not a lot of other things going on in like high levels women's ultimate that might be nice to share or good to look at, or right. And I think that's actually part of the like problem that we've also experienced, and that's like behind the whole Project 44 idea, is that while yes, the top is developing, this sort of connection is missing a little bit to like this broader like grassroots scene. And I think so it's beautiful like to just think about that and like have it in mind how can we, because I think there's so much potential still in like high level women's ultimate that is like that we could use to like grow the grassroots level as well, but it's hard to do that without like just increasing the load on the high level people that are already doing so much anyway. Right, so it's a bit tricky.
I agree. And also like it reminds me like one of the discussion that we had when we were trying to find our positioning too. It's I think, you know, like there's so many skilled player in the women division in Europe, and we tend to see that when those very high level player reach a ceiling, they are going to America to play because, you know, there's like more opportunity, more high level, etc. And even though, like, don't get me wrong, like I think it's amazing for the European representation and for them to experience that, it's also like by creating this sort of space like All-Star, it's also a way to make Europe as appealing as the States could be, and showing the world that Europe, yes, there is other stuff happening overseas, but Europe is also so interesting. Should keep your focus on Europe because it's growing more and more, and we have this amazing athlete. And it's also a way to like not retain the talents, because I want them to be free to do whatever they want, but to also, you know, give them a spot in Europe where they can shine and be highlighted.
It also like this project is riding on the backs of the recent successes of like the women's division on the world stage as well. So we're seeing like the French national team on beach, and also we're seeing players like, for example, Kayla Helton that's playing with Shout this year. Like we are getting more and more recognition globally on the European scene. And it is kind of our dream to be like, okay, now what if instead of all of those like high-end tournaments happening in both North and South America, now we have something like in Europe that's focused on the women's division, that I know this year it's European dominated, but what if in the future years it's an international tournament?
Yes. And I think it could be happening, because to be completely honest with you, like we got a lot of texts from teams overseas also that were super interested in coming to the tournament. But obviously since it's the worst season, it's already super packed and super expensive. They couldn't make the trip, but a lot of them told us that if there were to be a year two, they would definitely be coming. So I guess now this first season to make that happen.
Yeah, and I would say like also like stay tuned for this season too, because we might have some of these international players popping up on our fields. So
that's exciting. So
all right, let's hope that this tournament goes on everyone's bucket list in the future. And I also kind of wanted to say, like concluding our conversation, I first of all wanted to thank you for all of your insights. And secondly, I think like this episode, I thought it like again and again during the episode, I would love for all male matching players to also listen to this, even though we're talking about a women's tournament and women's I think people could learn a lot from this episode. And also would be nice for everyone to show interest in this tournament, even though maybe not everyone play it.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
You made me like, I was like, I wanna organize a tournament.
Come join us.
Yeah, you're welcome to join us.
Nice. Maybe I should. But yeah, thank you so much for coming.
Oh, wait, sorry. Can we just say our volunteer form is live? So that we wanted to like also use this space to not only promote our tournament, but also gather interest. And we know that there are a lot of teams that can't play or like don't have the time or whatever, but there's a lot of individual players that have been showing interest. And we need a lot of volunteer help, considering that this is a grassroots player-to-player initiative. Our volunteer form is live. And if you're interested, please, please, please sign up or, you know, show your interest because we need your help and we'd love to have you here.
And you're going to find that in the show notes of this podcast.
Yes.
Let's go.
All right. Well, then thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for having us. That was a blast talking with all the, about all those topics with you. And yeah.
See you around.
Yes. You're around. Okay.